Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It is Ryer on YouTube live on a Wednesday afternoon. I'm positioned right here in Duval, a very, very hyped, as you might expect, Jacksonville, Florida, as the hometown Jaguars prepare, just as we all thought, right, Ev? 12 months ago, we all knew this was coming down the pike for the Jacksonville Jaguars. We fully anticipated the Jags hosting a playoff game, even if it was the wild card round. And not just that, I mean, Evan, there is a lot of buzz about this Jacksonville Jaguars team going into the playoff, into the AFC playoffs, that this might be the team to beat in the AFC, given the way they've played over the last month and a half or so.
Yeah, winners of 8 straight. You beat the number one seed in the process of winning those 8 straight games. And, yeah, there's not really a reason to feel like that you can't do it right now. Injury situation right now is really positive as well. This is just a team that at the moment, everything is signaling towards playoff success. But the main issue is that, you know, of all the teams you could have drawn in the wild card round, you got the best quarterback in maybe the entire playoffs. And so that makes things, you know, a little scary, you know?
Yeah. I think we talked about it couple weeks ago. Would you rather see the Patriots or the Texans in this game? And I went with the Patriots, even with Drake May having an MVP worthy kind of year. I have concerns about starting with that Texans defense, primarily, as much as anything else. I think there's a confidence for the Texans when it relates to the Jacksonville Jaguars. We didn't really factor the Bills into all this, but I would have had the Bills right there with the Texans in terms of, I still would have rather have seen the Patriots in Duval than the Bills in this first game. And it starts with the quarterback position. Like you said, I mean, Josh Allen is what he is. We already know he's an MVP at that position. And it's not just Josh Allen. I mean, we were in Buffalo last season for that 47-10 beatdown. You know, it's the tight ends. It's James Cook. James Cook led the NFL in rushing this year. Yeah. So, there are some things to concern yourself about, as well as the Jags have played on the defensive side.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, at the end of the day, this is, you know, on the AFC side, this is a guy with 7 playoff wins, you know, a team with 7 playoff wins, right? Between not just Josh Allen, but a lot of those key pieces and head coach Sean McDermott. 7 wins without ever making a Super Bowl is actually the most for any coach or QB. So there's also a sincere amount of pressure on the Bills this year, even though they don't really have, you know, a juggernaut team. There is like this kind of vibe around the NFL of like, well, the Bills don't have to face Patrick Mahomes and they don't have to face, whatever. It's like, this is their year to go do it. But, and Vegas clearly thinks that they can go do it because they are favored against the Jags on the road, which is kind of wild. They are a very dangerous offense. That being said, It is interesting that, you know, the weakest part of the Bills offense, which is the wide receiver group, you are matched up with what might be the weakest part of the Jaguars roster in the secondary. So when you start thinking about the matchup between all the different positional groups, I definitely think the Jaguars actually get a huge benefit there by really, you know, facing a group that's not especially explosive or dynamic. Yeah. Khalil Shakir is a problem in open space for sure. But really, that group doesn't scare you like, you know, maybe in previous years when, you know, you got Stephon Diggs and, you know, non-Jaguar Gabe Davis lining up against you?
I think in some ways the Bills, the challenge for the Jags offensively will be similar to what they got from the Chiefs in the Monday night game. You know, you're going to worry about the tight end, Kelsey for the Chiefs, a couple different guys for the Bills. You're going to worry somewhat about the running back position. I think a lot you're going to worry about with James Cook, more so than even what you did with Pacheco and the Chiefs and those guys. And then the quarterback, when he decides to improv. You know, those are things you can't – you can talk about, you can rep as best you can in the practice week, but you can't totally simulate it and you can't totally prepare for what Josh Allen can give you. And not just in terms of elusiveness and ability to extend, but physicality when he runs the football too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and that's the thing. It's like if you let him scramble, if you let him kind of get that kind of juice going and that team gets fired up, that's a problem. This is kind of, you know, we talked about it earlier in the year, how the Jaguars were able to methodically put teams to sleep, you know, when the offense wasn't even clicking as well as it has been in the past few weeks, like just being able to kind of, you know, take it out of another team. That's kind of going to be what they need to do here. You know, when I think about what positional group do I think has like the most important job of maybe the entire game, it'd be the defensive line. You know, the Jaguars have been tremendous against the run this year. They haven't allowed a 75 plus yard rusher all season. I think the only team in the NFL to do that. That's critical. Even though as good as Josh Allen is, James Cook cannot get going. You absolutely have to limit him to, you know, there's like 2 to 3 yard to carry. You can't let him bust runs. And then, you know, from there, it's just, you know, hoping that your secondary makes a play or that, you know, again, defensive line, just Josh Allen, Trayvon Walker, where are you guys at? Like, this is where
they'll throw it to him too.
Yeah.
You know, they'll throw it to him. Ray Davis isn't an ability to take a real breather when he's in the game either.
Yeah.
You know, they have a lot of trust in him. He had 150 against the Jets. Now it was the Jets last week. But they're 2 or 3 deep at the running back position, kind of like the Jags too.
Yeah, no, they still have a really good roster. They've had to deal with some injuries this year. It hasn't necessarily gone exactly the way that they wanted, but this is still overall a really good roster. This is a very strong offensive line. You talk about Dalton Kincaid, but then you also have Dawson Knox behind him, and he's absolutely a threat and a tremendous blocker. And, you know, you got a wily veteran. You know, I like I said, this wide receiver group's not I would say the Jaguars is significantly better, but Brandon Cooks has been there, done that. That dude has, what, 8 1,000-yard receiving seasons.
Gabe Davis revenge game.
Gabe Davis revenge game. You know, Josh Palmer is, you know, not, like I said, you know, I mean, these are not, it's not great, but it's definitely not bad. There's plenty to worry about on the offensive side of the ball. And then, you know, their defense as well, you know, as we transition to that side, like their defense has played a lot better over the past like 5 or 6 weeks than it had previously when, you know, everybody was kind of like, well, the Bills' Achilles heel is this defense. Well, their defense has kind of found it. In fact, like, you know, in several different like passing defense stats, they're like top 5 in the NFL.
Yeah.
They are ranked really high in a lot of different regards. And you know, in the past 2 weeks have only allowed 20 points. You know, one team was the Jets, but
the Jets,
you know, they should have beat the Eagles and, you know, only allowed them to score 13 points. So
yeah, the Eagles can be a bit of a mystery offensively too.
Yeah, that too.
As we know. I think for, you know, the fan in general on Sunday afternoon, if you like tight ends, this could be a very impactful type of game. And it's been that way with the position really across football. Whether you watch the NFL, college football, it's been a renaissance, it feels like, for that position. And for the Jaguars, obviously, that means Brenton Strange. So you think about those two groups in this game could be very, very big. I think the Jags offensively, because of the question, I still have questions with that Bills defense, more so probably because of availability and or
some injuries.
Guys that are injured. You know, both teams go into this game when you talk about just the cornerback position, you know, you're going to have a lot of questions. The Bills have a couple of guys that are questionable at best. The Jags, Jarian Jones, as we know, based on practice reports from Mike DiRocco and others on this Wednesday, not out there during that portion of the practice. So, you know, if you don't have Jarian Jones, Greg Newsom left the game last week, came back. You know, you've got Buster. You feel really good about at one corner. You know, you could get into Christian Braswell territory pretty quick.
Yeah, no. And, you know, while Christian Braswell has occasionally had to step up and make a play, and I've been, you know, happy to see that, he's not a guy that you want out there for 30 to 40 snaps a game, right? Like, you know, you need this like initial group to be out there. But yeah, hopefully, you know, I know Buster Brown also was in like non-contact kind of practice today, but, you know, he's at least out there. Same thing with Greg Newsom. You worry, you want Jarian Jones out there. You know, Jarian Jones hasn't necessarily, you know, turned into a superstar quite yet or anything like that, but you definitely want him out there, partially because you don't have Jordan Lewis and you need someone to flex into the nickel, or really probably start at the nickel for the majority of the game. So that's definitely something to consider because, yeah, you talk about Khalil Shakir, you talk about a shifty receiver like that. That's where Jarian Jones is the kind of guy to lock that guy down. And then, yeah, as you were mentioning, those injuries on the other side. I mean, Matt Milano is not a full participant today. Jordan Phillips, one of their starting defensive tackles, just got put on the IR. You've even got issues with, like, Maxwell Harrison, the young corner. Yeah. He's not practicing today either.
Bosa.
Bosa's limited. Shaq Thompson, starting linebacker, limited. Jordan Poyer, starting safety, limited. So this Bills defense is a little banged up. They're probably all going to go. They're probably
Ed Oliver up front.
Ed Oliver. Yeah. They're probably, you know, everybody that's not on the IR,
right?
Everyone that's not already ruled out is probably going to go. I mean, how could you not? But they're not going to necessarily be 100%, which is something that the Jaguars need to take advantage of. You know, kind of in the same vein of talked about the importance of the Jaguars defense stopping James Cook. This is where the offensive line has to beat, you know, put belt to ass, so to speak, and BTA. Let Travis Etienne cook. This is where, don't get me wrong, Trevor's playing at such a high level that, you know, I trust him in a lot of situations to make things happen. But I'd rather, if possible, just run the ball. You know, I mean, it would be much more ideal to, you know, go back to back with Etienne, and now that Tootin's back and looking good, like, you know, you've got a serious
control the game with your backs.
The time of possession. The longer you can keep the ball, and Josh Allen is
Bills would love for this to turn into a shootout.
Yeah, I mean, they want that's
they're
what they
down yeah. with a game in the 30s. Right. You know, both teams in the 30s. Because even against the Pats a month or so ago, they got down huge.
Well, that's what I was gonna say.
Came back and blitz the number two seed in the AFC on their home field in the second half. So nothing's over. No matter how this game starts, Evan, nothing is over. Yeah, I don't think.
No, if you're up three scores with 10 minutes left in the fourth, you better not take your foot off the gas. Like you need to absolutely go. But no, I mean, you go look at their four wins before the loss to Philadelphia, 23-20 over Cleveland, 35-31 over New England, 39-34 over Cincinnati, or those three games. Those are all shootouts against bad teams. Like, to be honest, like, the Bills were fighting for their life just to win those games.
Other than the Pats.
Other than the Pats. Yes, of course. My bad. But, you know, point being, just like, that's the Bills game right now. They know that their defense isn't necessarily going to be able to lock down any, you know, especially talented offense. I think overall, the more I think about it, I do think that the Jaguars are a great matchup, like, in this game. Like, I definitely think that what the Jaguars do well, what their strengths are at, are, like, bad news for the Bills, like, genuinely. But the problem is just, as we said before, best quarterback maybe in the entire playoffs is on the other team. So it's never over, like you said.
It's not, and he still has some weapons to work with on that offensive side of the ball. You know, even for the Bills from a special teams perspective, there are a couple of kickers deep into this thing now. They've had injuries at kicker. They've had injuries at punter. So that's sort of been more the theme for the Bills. And it's interesting, too, from the young wide receiver perspective and kind of how these teams have gone about trying to remedy maybe second-year woes. Keon Coleman for the Bills has been a massive disappointment this season, really for the entirety of his short stint, I would say, there in Buffalo.
Yeah, I mean, he's been a healthy scratch several times this year.
He had a couple catches last week. Maybe they're trying to get him to some type of place where he can help in the postseason. And then Brian Thomas Jr. for the Jags, now more so in the first half of the season. But I think, again, we talked about the arrival and the implementation of Jakobi Meyers. And good to see Cole Van Lannen get rewarded, by the way, recently with his extension. Now you're concerned about his availability. And if you go back to maybe Macari at guard, Walker Little goes back out to tackle, you know, how that could impact things too.
Yeah, no, you really want Cole Van Lannen playing in this game. You know, he has been just a revelation. You know, the fact that
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
The Jaguars found a, you know, not only a franchise tackle potentially, but a franchise anywhere. Like, I mean, you really can play anywhere. Yeah, that's incredible that they've kind of walked into the situation and developed him. You know, he, like Trevor Lawrence and several other players, have taken a step up under this new regime. So you really want him in that game. You know, Walker Little has looked solid the past couple of weeks, but he's never had a consistent run really in his career with Jacksonville. So at the end of the day, I'd rather him have to be a guy coming into the game if needed, with Macari starting, who, you know, Macari hasn't necessarily been worth the price tag, but, again, I'd rather have him at guard if possible. You know, something you mentioned with the, when you mentioned kicker, I do think, you know, the passing of the torch from Matt Prater to Cam Little as the deep bomb guy in the NFL, because really that was Prater's game for quite some time. I mean, dude was
especially when he was inside.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
When he was, I guess, Detroit, you know, he was the bomber. You're right. You're absolutely right on that one. For Trevor Lawrence, Evan, in terms of a legacy game, where's this one sit?
I mean, this is
given the guy on the other side too.
Yeah, no, I mean, Trevor Lawrence has, you know, beaten some really good quarterbacks head-to-head before, you know. I mean, you think about Mahomes earlier in the year. But I would say that if Trevor goes and plays at the level that he's played at the past 6 or 7 weeks, then this would be, like, the biggest performance of his career. If he's able to replicate that, you know, and that doesn't even mean 4 touchdowns or something like that. I'm talking 250 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks, no turnovers.
Yeah.
That would be the kind of performance that I think would make him undeniably, like, okay, yeah, we have to respect him as, like, potentially a top 5 quarterback, at least right now in the NFL. That game against the Chargers will never be forgotten, but partially because Trevor Lawrence was the worst quarterback in the NFL for about a half during that game before, you know, turning it around. So, no, this is a huge, huge moment. I mean, this is, you know, I talked about the pressure on the Bills. There's definitely pressure on Trevor here. There's definitely pressure on Liam Cohen, your first playoff game as an NFL head coach. Now, I know that, you know, Cohen's, you know, experienced playoff atmospheres, you know, plenty of times with the Buccaneers, but it's definitely different when you're running the show, right? So, you know, you talk about other guys, like, you know, in terms of the magnitude of this game, you know, for some of those other coaches on the staff, a playoff run could be potentially.
Udinski, Campanelli.
Campanelli could be looking at head coach interviews.
Yeah,
and, you know,
probably should be.
Yeah, he should be. He's done an incredible job with his defense. So, but for Trevor, this is probably the biggest performance, like it would be the biggest performance of his career. The Jaguars, I didn't love this, on freaking social media said the biggest game in franchise history. Do we got to say that?
The ticket prices reflect it right now, my man.
Yeah,
that secondary market is ablaze for get-in prices on Sunday. Now, the part of that probably doesn't get talked about enough is Bills Mafia coming.
Yeah,
they coming. So if this would have been the Texans to our talk earlier, would you still had a tough matchup, but the Texans fans weren't coming.
No.
And they're not as national. You know, there's people that will come to Jacksonville as Bills fans, but there's Bills fans in Jacksonville. Yeah. You know, so that's part of the ticket man problem this week, Ev, is that it's the Bills Mafia looking to infiltrate the bank.
No, for sure. That's it's going to be different than 2017 though. You know, 2017, there was, you know, a sincere conversation on, is there more Bills fans? It certainly felt that way at that game. I don't think this year that's necessarily going to be as big of a problem. I do think it'll be like 70-30, you know, pushing 60-40. But I think there's, you know, you go look at the attendance of the Jags game last weekend.
Yeah.
And I know it was much cheaper, but you know, they showed out in a game that didn't really, yes, it was clinched the title, but that was, there was no world in which that game was going to be close, really.
You know, so. Especially after Cam Ward goes out. I mean,
yeah, that ended up
the worst thing. The worst thing to happen to the Jags was the best thing to happen to the Jags last week. You go down 7-0, but you roll on him at the goal line.
Yeah.
And you get him out of the game. Unfortunately, you don't want to see him dealing with a shoulder injury to his throwing shoulder as a promising young quarterback. But hey, you know, you do what you have to do. Yeah. I think the environment will be fascinating to see on Sunday in terms of in the stadium. I don't think it's going to be Florida, Georgia type of split. I still think it'll be heavy, heavy Jags, but certainly the Bills Mafia.
And they're going to represent. Even if it's only 30%, they're going to be insanely
loud.
Yeah, insanely loud. Yeah.
You know what? They weren't especially hospitable to us.
No, they weren't.
Our pal Dom Tibbetts is always hospitable.
Yeah.
Works in the Bills media up there in Buffalo. So it was great. But boy, that's a rough, rough place to play. It'll be interesting, too, though, with the Bills. This is off topic. To see how that translates to their new digs.
Right.
Because prices and pricing out the real fans up there in upstate New York, how that impacts them. But what's the confidence level, Ev, as we get ready for this one? Where are you at?
I think I'm in 8. Ooh. I am confident.
As in ready to eat 8. Yeah.
Yeah. I am confident. I can't lie. I just don't. I think that there's a lot of, you know, they're sure the Jaguars can absolutely lose this game. 100% they can lose this game. But there are so many things to me that signal that this is the worst possible matchup for the Bills. Like, they could not have picked a worse opponent. Going into New England would have been more ideal. Going into Pittsburgh, obviously, would have been, you know, the best possible situation for them. But the Jaguars are, one, explosive on offense right now. They can score in a shootout situation, and their defense is so, like, good at just, you know, forcing those random turnovers, forcing those, like, big plays that I don't see, you know. Also, on top of that, again, no 75-yard rushers this year. Like, James Cook is going to have a tough day, you know, or he should. He should. But I don't know. I just feel like
I'm with you. I'm not at an 8, but I'm probably at a 6.5. You know, it's Josh Allen over there. Now, if you can put him in an early hole and put him in a situation where he's got to really force some things, that's when that opportunistic defense kind of sink its teeth in. But I'm with you earlier. You just can't let it be a two-way go for the Bills on offense. It can't be James Cook getting his and, you know, Josh Allen getting his. And I do agree, as much as you think about Josh Allen and explosive plays, the Jags right now are set up in a way where it's not – my confidence in the Jags right now isn't so much the way Trevor's played. It's the way everybody around him has played. And it started with Jakobi Meyers coming in. So if you need explosive plays, I think they can get it from the wide receiver position. You need it from the tight end, Brenton Strange can give you that. If you need it from a back, you know, ETN and Tootin hopefully can give you that. I think it's going to be more on Josh Allen to win the game than it is Trevor. Trevor needs to play well. Don't get me wrong. But I don't think in terms of individual heroic type of efforts and performances, there's still going to be that much of it placed on Trevor Lawrence.
No, I don't think so either. I also think from a pure coaching standpoint, I'd rather have the Jaguars staff right now. You know, Sean McDermott, there's like they won't fire him if they lose this game, but there is kind of a, you know, as the years pile on and he's not able to do what he needs
to do. Poor man's John Harbaugh.
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit. I just think that the way that Cohen has been in his bag, especially the back half of the season, as a play caller, as an offensive play caller.
Yeah,
you know, he likes to take risks here and there that, you know, you're like, I don't know if that was necessary. And that does scare me a little bit in this game that, you know, the Jags are like, we're at our own 47. We're going to go for it on fourth.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Yeah. Or we're going to kick a 70-yard field goal in a playoff game because F it, you know, whatever, Cam Little. Those kinds of decisions do, you know, he's a little rash, you know.
You're not worried as much about Joe Brady's bag on the other side.
I'm not worried about Joe Brady's bag. And same thing with, you know, I'd take Campanelli right now. Like, I mean, he's also just been really good. I just think that right now the Jaguars are the better team. Like, I genuinely think so.
I think all around they are, but I'm scared, and I'll tell you I'm scared in the words of your grandfather. Pops, because that guy can, again, if the Jags get up 21-3 or something like that, don't fall for it. You know, it's going to be a four quarter football game. I truly believe that. I think the Jags will win at home, but should be a thriller on the banks of the St. John's. So there you go. Anything else for us, Evs, as we conclude our discussion about the AFC South champion Jacksonville Jaguars, or there's some other matchups maybe. Boy, it is just a hell of a slate in both really conferences. Good. Just great, great football, or the potential for it anyway, throughout the weekend and into Monday night.
Yeah. It really is. I mean, I honestly think that Chargers New England game is going to end up being like maybe the surprise best game of the weekend.
Chargers.
Because I think Justin Herbert's going to like just absolutely take the collar off and just let it go because he has to. I think that's going to be really fun. And then also Green Bay at Chicago. That's awesome.
That's a fun game.
That's going to be sweet. Yeah.
Love that.
So, looking forward to those two, but I am making the trip down this weekend to go to the game. I mean, I've never been to a Jaguars home playoff game. I've been to Jaguars playoff games, never been to a home playoff game.
That's true.
So this is a big one for me. Just tremendously excited. Show out.
Weather
show
looks great. I mean, it should be perfect. You know,
There's no reason. There's no reason to not be like just down there and going for it. If you can't afford a ticket, even just show up, just make the vibes.
The ticket man agrees. Come on down. Yeah, you need to be there. The ticket man, he agrees with Liam Cohen. Liam Cohen said, need everybody in Duval down there. The ticket man agrees. Everybody.
And we're noting that, because, I'm an idiot and I can be persuaded by my friends. I had a buddy, shout out Spiegel, who, hit me up yesterday morning and said, come on, let's bet on the Jaguars to win the Super Bowl.
The value is great. I mean, you talked about it earlier.
Plus 1,400 is what I got it at.
And they're picked like fifth, even if you wanted to pick them to win the conference right now.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're the fifth of the teams right now in terms of the pecking order of Vegas, most likely to win the AFC. So now you're going to have to go on the road, you would think.
More than likely.
We'll see what happens, though. I mean, if it plays out the way you're thinking in the divisional round, you know, Jags could be at home next weekend.
That's what I mean. Chargers beat New England, and you're playing Gucci at home. Yeah, you're playing at home again. So
speaking of bags,
and then you got to go back to Denver more than likely.
Yeah,
but who knows? I mean, even then, you might be hosting the Chargers in the AFC title game. Chargers go bang bang.
There's the seeding process that goes into it after this round.
Yeah.
So you don't know really who you could end up seeing in the divisional round right now. Yeah.
It's exciting times. Like I've said the past, you know, couple episodes, savor it, enjoy it. You know, we don't get to do this enough. So, for this to be happening, it's just dream regular season. Now we start, you know, a new campaign. So,
Jags looking to go 3-0 against the Bills in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's it.
I guess that's what we're thinking here, perhaps, that they do.
Was Sean McDermott still the head coach back in 2017?
That's 9 years ago.
Hold on.
I think he was head coach. Yeah. If it wasn't, it was right there. He's been there a long time.
I think that might have been his first or second year in Buffalo.
So. Yeah. Yeah. It was close. All right, Ev. Looking forward to you making the trip down, my man. And you need some game day goodies right here at Party Girl in the Avondale area of Duval. They've got you taken care of. I'm looking over right now at those display cases. You've got some vegetable beef soup. You got some chicken salad sandwiches. Great looking assortment of homemade cookies in there right now. Yeah, right here at Party Girl, 4205 St. John's Avenue. Ev, we'll do it again soon.
Sounds like a plan.
For Evan, I'm Travis. Thanks for joining us. Until next time. So long, everybody.